So the word Advent is the word that means come or coming, and on our side of things, and this is a statement or proclamation about God, on our side of things we wait, because the coming is what's going to happen to us. It's not what we're doing. So I like to think of Advent as meaning waiting. That's our connection with it. That's our reality. And this waiting has three sort of focal points. The first is that we remember that Jesus came at a certain point in time in history as a fulfillment of God's promises to the Jewish people going and to humanity, going back even to Genesis chapter 3, but for sure with Abraham and the Jewish people and all of the promises that's fulfilled in Jesus' birth, which we celebrate on Christmas. But that is not the complete work of God, so we look forward to God's return through Jesus Christ to complete that good work. And that's called the second coming of God, but I call that the third coming because I like to remind us, the church is in full agreement with this, that God continues to come in the present, that God visits us in our day-to-day circumstances. We are all testimony that God is still alive and well and working in the lives of humans, interacting, engaging with humans. We wouldn't be here otherwise. And so that's, for me, that's the second coming, but it's the present coming. The other thing that we need to remember in the lectionary gives us both sides of this. We're thinking about this coming that's yet future. And this contains both promise, this beautiful passage in Isaiah, one among many for in the Old Testament, the promises of peace, of restoration, of the Jewish nation, of God dwelling among his people, and Jerusalem being a center to which all nations come to inquire of the Lord, and the peace that's established there, the healing of all brokenness, etc. The end of war and strife. But there's also words of judgment that come with this, and depending on the time in which God is addressing his people, the judgment theme is larger and writ large. Sometimes the Jewish people assumed that the blessing was for them and the judgment on others, but history proves that God's justice is served in an unpleasant manner on his own people when that is the appropriate response that they need for their own health and well-being. And for sure, for Jesus, and we pick up in Matthew's gospel with this greater passage. Last week we had Luke, a part of it from Luke, and there's a lot of not so pleasant stuff that is coming. Jesus predicts it. He says you should anticipate this. This is what's going to come. So the ending is a good thing, but the ending contains some painful things, or leading up to the ending contains painful things. So we have both of those as we look at this future coming of God, both the hope and promise and the threat. And that's more or less where the lectionary lands us with the reading from Romans and the passage from Jesus. You could read it like I was talking to the kids about, you know, so the call is to be alert, watch, be ready, be awake. You know, Paul says, the time is now when you should wake up, because our salvation is closer than it was when we first believed. And that's still true today. In fact, it's truer today for us. If it was close for Paul 2,000 years later, it's closer now than it was then. But the time is now to wake up. So like with the kids, it could be you don't want to miss out on the good things, you know, that Christmas has, so be aware, be awake, be alert. But the Gospels, for sure, and Paul in other places, warns us that we want to be alert because there's judgment that comes. And we shouldn't be caught flat-footed, we shouldn't be caught asleep, we shouldn't be caught unprepared. And that's the call. Watch and wait, be alert, be awake. Now, the lectionary gives us two different sort of threats to our ability to be alert and to be prepared. They're sort of contained in Romans, but for sure in Romans, Paul, in this contrast between putting away what we used to do, what he characterizes as darkness, meaning moral absence of God in our choices that we're making. He gives us this vice list of, you know, just some obvious kind of bad things, drunkenness and revelry, sexual debauchery, strife, envy, jealousy. Really? That's there? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a work of darkness too. Even though some churches, you know, or some of us as Christians perfect that, it's not a work of light. So these are clear and obvious things, and I think we can all sort of agree, yeah, that's not really what we should be doing to prepare for Jesus' coming. And I think by and large, most of us, that's not our danger, like these obvious works of darkness. I think Jesus gets into what's more of a danger for us, because for Jesus, in the passage we have here in front of us, the danger is just everyday life. It's just getting too busy. It's just doing what comes, what's good. These aren't bad things. Now, when you read the flood, what God is judging humanity for their wickedness. But that's not what Jesus highlights in this passage. He says it's like two guys out working in the field. They're unaware, and bang, one gets taken. And I don't think that's a good taken. I think that's the bad taken. But that's another conversation. Sorry to all you pre-trib guys out there. Pre-tribulation, that is. Look it up. Okay. It's not really an Anglican conversation. I'm going back to my earlier Christian roots. So it's everyday life. So it's the ability of the good. So here's the danger. The temptation is that the good things are going to keep me from doing the better things, or the better things are going to keep me from doing the best thing, the most important thing. And that is a danger. I love the way St. John of the Cross puts this in one of his memorable examples. He says, any object, no matter how small, can completely erase in your vision any other object, no matter how large. So you could be looking at a massive mountain, and you could put a pencil up or your finger up to your eye. You'd have to close one eye, of course. And you can't see a mountain. All you can see is your finger. And you're like, hey, my finger's bigger than the mountain. Well, no, you don't make that conclusion. But that's what can happen to us in life. He goes on to say, St. John, though humans have the infinite capacity to receive God in his fullness, instead we content ourselves, we fill ourselves up in our infinite capacity with very teeny-eensy things, like a cup of coffee, or our resentment, or any number of things. They come in and they flood us and fill us, just like a finger can block out the sun, the moon, or a massive mountain, or other people. They come in and fill us so that we're not aware of an absence or a gap. And we never seek beyond what's completely clouded our vision or eclipsed the rest of the life and reality. We never seek beyond because we don't know there's something beyond. But yet we live with this infinite desire for something more that we've spent on this trivial thing. Anyhow, I think that's what Jesus is warning us about. You've heard of the tyranny of the urgent, where you run around responding to putting out little spot fires. That's often something, perhaps, if you've heard about it, you think about it in terms of work. I think it can be true at home or in other parts of our life. You don't be purposeful and intentional about getting things done. You're just responding, reacting to things. You're not even responding, you're just reacting. Well, there's also the tyranny of the trivial. where we spend all our time and energy invested in things that really are trivial. I could list some of them. I think probably, where is that thing? Aha! Gateway to all things trivial. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah, I mean, I'm never out of temptation anymore. Like, I can walk away from my computer, but my computer's right there with me. Anyway, and this has pretty much replaced television for most of us nowadays as well. But in your own life, there may be these trivial things that fill up your infinite capacity so that you miss God. And that's what Jesus is warning us against. He's saying, be alert. This is how this passage ends. And there's others. All the Gospels give us several stories at this point in Jesus' ministry. This is just before his arrest and crucifixion. All the Gospels give us several stories where Jesus says, here's the punchline, folks. Be aware, be alert, watch and pray. This is how our passage this morning ended. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know the day in which your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert, right? And would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready as well. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think. When you've allowed yourself to be lulled into complacency and heedlessness and relative unconsciousness. When you've forgotten what's important in life. And your life is numbed by all the irrelevant and unimportant clutter of good things, valuable things, important things, but not the one thing necessary, as Jesus says about Mary in Luke 10. Let's pray. God, only you are good and trustworthy. Only your word is secure. Open our hearts and minds to hear your voice, so we as your sheep may follow you. Open our hearts and minds to receive your truth, so that we might be free, set free and transformed. Confirm your servants in your word, according to your promise in Jesus Christ, and in fulfillment of your purpose in sending him. It's because of Jesus we pray. Amen.